Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show. You know what? Psycho T, I'm sorry. I'll give you one day off. The way that they got their asses kicked, nobody should have gone out there. Just that one time, but you still ought to be ashamed of yourself. You haven't been to a game yet. It's August 21st.
I'll fix it soon.
Yeah, I'm sure
I will fix it soon.
That's it. You're probably not the A's.
Not this weekend. I got stuff going on.
The latest is the Astros. They're going to have to get off the mat. All right. Hey, don't watch the tape. You lost 18-3 to one of the worst teams in baseball. Now you get to play the absolute worst team, at least record-wise, in baseball, in the Sacramento A's. So they're coming into town. We'll get you ready for that. But, Clint, first, the latest news on Jeremy Pena. Missed the game yesterday after getting hit in the hand with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. According to reports, Clint, the Astros shortstop, Jeremy Pena, the panty dropper, I added that part into the report, is fine to play defensively, but still isn't comfortable swinging the bat. He could be available off the bench tonight and perhaps back in the lineup tomorrow. So it looks like this is not going to be an IL thing, but it looks like there's still some pain when he swings the bat. Hopefully that is a situation where he can get back tomorrow, if not soon as possible.
Yeah, good to see that we're in. We got a little sense of urgency about getting back. Finally, that's nice. So yeah,
I don't know about a sense of urgency to get back. It's never been a problem. I wonder what has been the problem is, are they really ready to get back?
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way it goes, this time
Shout
of year.
Shout out to you, Jake.
We need to get back on the field. Either way it goes, this time of year with where we are right now, we need to get back on the field and see if we can't get moving back in the right direction. So. No excuses when you lose a series of the Angels. I got no mercy. I got no mercy. Get your ass back on the field. Let's go.
I ain't gonna lie to you. They make you want to take the night off after a performance like that. Maybe after a performance of the three. Like, you know what? I'm gonna go on, have dinner with my lady or go do something with the kids or something.
Yeah.
And I'll just follow you on the phone. I'll go and check in. That's your punishment.
He's even cutting the phone off last night, right?
Yeah.
Up there in the press box, hell, it ain't worth watching.
My man next to me, my man said, man, I ain't wasting no more battery on this. Yeah, watching the game and then watching the Astros on the phone, man. He closed it down at 8-2. You remember he closed it at 8-2, and then down the line about 30 seconds later, Tyler, someone said, oh, it's 10-2. 10-2? No, it's just 8-2. No, it's 10-2. Oh, Brian King gave up a little bit more. Speaking of Brian King, Clint, he's gone. He's going back to AAA, and they are recalling another player that they have had some up and down issues with who was in AAA, and that's Kaiway Tong. He is coming back up, and we'll see if he's an option to come out of the bullpen and help this team. But Brian King, I know someone you have zero confidence in when he comes in the game. This is the second time he's been sent down. In the second half, it feels like. So this may be for good, but they are trying. I mean, they are doing more switching, sending, bringing up, sending down. Yep. I mean, Blanco's going down, King's going down, Petco's come up. Like it is.
Well, Thong's got to be in this thing if he's healthy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I'd like to have a conversation about him, but I don't believe it. He needs to be in the same conversation with Brian King. So. Look, I don't like to see anybody get cut, anybody get pushed down, but the reality of it is I've seen all I want of King.
Kaiway Tong.
Yeah, Tong, that guy right there, man. He's back. If he's healthy, he'll help this team. Hell, he may even get a start.
Clint, I'm
Looks really, all nervous.
I'm really getting concerned here.
I mean, you get a Christian Javier Tong game? Javier Tong?
The Christian combo.
There you go. It comes with a thong.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
That is good. What a quick draw on the hot
dude. Yeah, that's it right there, man.
Nah,
I mean, we got a real chance to put those two out there. Are you kidding me?
What's making me concerned is I don't know who else is down there outside of Homer Mike that they could bring back up.
You might. I mean, I guarantee this thing is way this starting rotation is way too thin for Homer Mike to sit his tail in Sugarland.
Burrowhead.
I promise you that ain't happening. You might as well go ahead and get ready.
Homer Mike's getting
back up here.
They've gone Petco. They've gone Kaiway now. They've gone a lot of people. And there's nobody else down there. That Weiss Weiss character, they already got rid of him.
Ron, they wasted a starter last night in a 10-plus run game. Oh. Emi's not coming back. Yeah, Homer Mike is getting a shot.
Yeah, Emi's not a starter anymore.
That ship has sailed.
He's not even a bullpen pitcher.
That's right.
He hadn't pitched in a week.
I mean, if you're pitching, he pitched right before late night.
They said, yeah.
He was the option just
so
above late night.
Early evening?
That's right.
He ain't pitched in a week. And it's, hey, man, hey, boss, man, it's 12-2, man. Come on in. We got you.
Let's get some work in, Buck.
Okay, it's 11-2.
Earn that 18.
Because I know he gave up a clean two or three himself. He always, that's what gets me about him, man. He always seems stunned that these balls have been hit so hard into the gap.
Early evening.
Does he look stunned or is he mad because Joe Espada's over there calling bull job pitches for him? Which one is
it? Come on, Joe!
I know Joe's not calling pitches to Joe, but you get the point.
Yeah, you know Joe ain't called a damn pitch in his life. All right. Those are the moves that have been made off the field, on the field. Hayden Wisniewski, can he break the streak? All right. 8 straight starts. No one has stepped as a starting pitcher onto the field, onto the mound. They may have stepped on the field, but on the mound.
The Ocho.
After 5 innings.
Good God, man.
8 straight starts. The bullpen has had to come in at least to start the 6th. 8 straight starts. Last night, Pete Lambert gave us 3 2/3. I'll be honest with you. I don't think anyone has seen 5 since Pete and Hunter Brown did it back to back starts. So it's been a minute. Can he stop it? They need him 2-1 right now. His ERA is starting to climb just like the rest of them. It's over 5 right now. By the way, the lineup is out, and as we said, there's no Pena. Altuve has slipped himself back into the leadoff spot here. So Altuve leading off. Alvarez is in left field tonight with Paredes as the DH. Clint's favorite, Varsho, is the cleanup hitter tonight in center field.
How?
With Christian Walker.
What did Varsho do in an 18-3 ball game that I just don't.
Oh, speaking of Varsho, and just a second ago, the thinness at pitching, Arrighetti'd be nice, wouldn't he?
That'd be nice. Mm. Yeah, it could be. But Varsho is – but no, he's your cleanup hitter tonight. That's a little bit more important. Varsho is batting 4th and in center. Christian Walker behind him. Yiner Diaz is catching tonight with Cam Smith. And, hell, I didn't even know it, but Raynell Delgado got called back up because he's in the lineup as well with Nick Allen. Delgado and Nick Allen to round out the lineup. Good hell, that is a tough looking lineup right there. There it is. That's who's going as Hayden Wisniewski comes in behind him. So we'll see. Hopefully the Astros are able.
This is what our cleanup hitters got, boys. He didn't play but 2 games against. Had one hit in 2 games against the Angels. He had 2 hits in 3 games against the Mariners. He had 1 hit in 3 total games against the Giants. He had 1 hit in 3 games against the Padres, and he had 2 hits in 3 games against Toronto. I mean, what are we? How's he in a 4-hole? How can we not? Even if
they've had a lot of people in that 4-hole this year.
That was a no brainer for me.
a lot.
What's Cam got to do, man?
I don't know. Hell, I throw Nick Allen up there. Let's give Nick a shot.
I mean, Nick got to be hitting 250.
And Nick hit a bomb the last
Come
time
on,
I
man.
Saw him.
What are we doing? Varsho,
a panty dropper.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. The Texans have made some moves already at the wide receiver position, which is interesting because we got an earlier report we'll get to here in just a second. But the Texans, they have signed wide receivers. Sterling Shepard, 33 years old. He was with the Bucs last year. And in that time frame, Clint, he played 13 ball games. In which he had 39 catches for 371 yards. And then they also brought in Zay Jones, 31, he's a bit bigger, Clint. We've heard bigger receivers or something. They're looking at he's 6'2", 200. Sterling Shepard's more of a slot guy at 5'11", just under 200 pounds. But he had a he's coming off an Achilles injury in which he played just 8 games, but he had 12 catches for 183 yards. So those are the two guys they've brought in. And let's touch that point before we look at the reports from earlier in a way they may address the Jaden Higgins injury. Your thoughts on the move of bringing Sterling Shepard and Zay Jones in? And do you think these are camp bodies, or do you think these are guys that got a chance to be a part of this roster?
No, I think they got a real chance to be a part of this roster. Look, I mean, Higgins isn't coming back. I don't think Tank Dell's an option. So you're looking at possibly Noel being added to this bunch, and then you're still leaning on Justin Watson. You're still leaning on potentially Isaiah Bond. You're leaning on guys that just simply haven't done it, and or aren't ideally guys that you would like to be leaning on. I like the fact that they signed two of them. I think you need additional depth. I think you need more than just one veteran in this bunch. And I think both of these guys are somewhere in the Xavier Hutchinson area in terms of play and ability. And the veteran aspect of it, having been in the league and having seen what NFL defenses throw it at offenses all day long, having been in multiple offenses, I would think that it would be fairly easy for these guys in a 3-week span, maybe even a 4 or 5 week span, to pick up this offense and have it down pat where you can actually be in the rotation. And so, yeah, I like it. I like both of these guys as players. I love the veteran experience in that room. As options, I think they're both guys that you could stash if need be on a practice squad to start the season and have those options available. So I think these are both good signs by Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans.
By the way, right now, Clinton Tyler, the current wide receiver room, Nico Collins, Xavier Hutchinson, Jalen Noel, Jarrett Wayne, Sterling Shepard, Zay Jones, Lou Bond, and Justin Watson.
Lou Bond, what's his name?
Lewis.
I called him Isaiah earlier.
Did you?
It is Lewis.
Yeah, Lou Bond. That's the new crew. And I read that off because I want to tell you the earlier report from Aaron Wilson. He said the Texans have made trade calls just to explore things to a couple of receivers and the targets.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
They made, in terms of trades, they went to the New England Patriots, apparently. This has been reported by league sources, to look at Kayshon Boutte, and to the Ravens to look at Rashad Bateman. Now, this report came out prior to them adding Sterling Shepard and Zay Jones. In your mind, as I just read off to you, their wide receiver room right there, again, outside of after Nico Collins, Hutch, Noel, Wayne, Shepard, and Jones, the two new additions, Bond and Watson. Do you think they still should be trying to push forward with trade calls with guys like this?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
These are starting receivers in the NFL.
So the moves today shouldn't stop that.
No, I wouldn't think so. No, not one bit. If one of those two AFC same tier as you are, kind of like
playoff
Super Bowl
contender, yeah,
playoff contenders, if they're willing to part ways and trade one of those two receivers to you, you better jump on that like a duck on a June bug in a hurry, no question. That's a plug and play starter. Hell, Boutte's been in the system.
Yeah.
I mean that's absolutely a plug and play. So I like this depth and these two players they brought in, guys that were available. It's about as good as you can get. And if you get a chance to get one of those two, you could be in a really, really good spot.
Yeah. Tank Dell also, sorry. Tank Dell is also in that room, kind of, as well. So that is, you have to. I mean, you don't, I mean, it's hard to say, like, he's definitively in there. I mean, kind of. We'll see.
5 o'clock. o'clock fire.
All right, some NBA news. Klay Thompson signs a 2-year deal with the Miami Heat, and there's a part of me that looks at him and think, man, Klay, you should probably just shut this thing down.
Mm.
But a team like this makes a lot of sense. I can think of another team that could probably use some shooting, maybe some veteran leadership, but...
I can too. Right down the street. You used to play right down the street down here at the old church, ain't they? That group?
That's them. The Summit. Yep. That you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joel's house now.
Yeah.
That team, yeah. They could probably use him.
But no, you look at it. That is the Miami Heat. There's a team that can maybe remind you of that. The Miami Heat, they're two big-time guys are inside threats that are probably guys that could get double-teamed. And you look at, can you have guys spot up and shoot? And Klay Thompson, even though he's 36 years old and, you know, has had a rough couple of months, Houston's own, maybe that's probably why he'd avoid here, being the old Megan Thee. Mm. But that seems like if you said to me in the offseason, all right, man, get veteran guys, that'd be the type of guy, hey, man, got double teams, guy who can just shoot jumpers, guys who can just spot up and just shoot jumpers. Maybe he doesn't have to play long stretch, but a guy who can shoot jumpers, and it looks like the Miami Heat got another shooter to go to be around Giannis and Bam. So interesting signing. I wonder how many more years old Klay's got in him.
Mm.
This is getting tough. He was a Warrior, but this is about his fourth team, it feels like, since he didn't bounce out of there. Anyway. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock hour, you know we'll get T-Mill's best bet. He's had a really good week. 6 of 9 in the green all week, so we'll get his best bets. And let's look at C.J. Stroud. We had 10 plays, but as I've talked to Clint went and watched the film, and he said he felt even better about C.J. than when he watched him live. So C.J. Stroud, we'll talk about him and look at him coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. I do want to get to C.J. Stroud and what he did. Somebody got me, Tyler and Clint, when I slid over to the old grocery store. And it's a damn shame, man. They're trying to get you to get them 2 liters. I went in there, and I was just going to get a personal size bottle, whatever that is, whatever size that is, regular size bottle. Of a little Dr. Pepper Zero. And then I went in there and I saw the damn 2 liter was damn near a full dollar cheaper. I said, well, hell, let me go ahead and grab this 2 liter in here. Got me a nice little cherry. I like that little cherry Dr. Pepper Zero. One of the best zero cow drinks on the market, in my opinion.
Okay.
I got it a couple of days ago. Got it Wednesday.
Still in there, huh?
Yeah, but I went to fill up, pour me a little sum for the first time today.
Somebody got you, didn't they?
Oh, that thing was light, Tyler. And it was light. And the reason why I know is I don't put my tops on there that hard and tight.
Did you ask Seth how he's been drinking?
my might come in a little flat. That one there, whoever it is, they put that top on there good. Not to mention it was light, so. I hope you enjoyed it. I will say this to that person. Go ahead and finish it off for the weekend. Go ahead.
It's Friday. There's only a couple people in the building.
Who I'm just saying, whoever it is. If you're still in the building, whoever you are, if you listen, go ahead and finish it off. I don't know who did it.
It's all yours, man. We're out of here in 30.
All yours. I said, well, this is a little light. It's a little light compared to where it was the other day. I'm for that sucker. All right, Clint. There's a lot of things that people watch for that game, but nothing is more talked about, viewed, looked at, more conversation than the quarterback C.J. Stroud. And Clint, he has been the talk all day and all night, right? Hell, he was even the topic of conversation even more than the number one pick who threw a pick six for 80 yards at Fernando Mendoza. He was right there as the point of conversation. And he's going to be the conversation with this team because a lot of people feel like his performance is going to be the tipping point if the Texans get to where they need to get to. And not like they have normally thought, in a way in which, Clint, where it's almost like, man, if he just don't screw it up,
yeah,
you know, tipping point. Not like, hey, the tipping point the way that it is for Mahomes or Burrow or Allen. And, Clint, it was just one series. He just played one series because I think they played well enough where DeMeco and company didn't feel like they needed to see more. But he was 4 of 6 for 27 yards. They scored a touchdown on the Woody Marks long run. It included two third down conversions, a third and 11 that he completed, a 12-yard gain to Jarrett Wayne. And then the third and 4 where he got out of the pocket, avoided a little rush, and dumped it off to Foster Moreau for 10 yards. And we watched that, and the offense was successful. It seemed like they ran offense the way that they really would like to draw it up. But your thoughts and what you saw from C.J. Stroud last night?
I thought it was really good, man. A plus for me. It goes beyond just the passes that you mentioned. I think you said he was 4 of 6. I know the incompletions. One was a throwaway at Cade Stover's feet, yeah. And then one was a back shoulder that with a little bit more work, the timing is there, and it's probably a completion. So those are your two incompletions. Your completions, one of them was a check down to Woody Marks. One of them was a first down to Foster Moreau. One of them was a negative play. It was a bootleg throw to Xavier Hutchinson. Then you mentioned the comeback to 89. It from a passing perspective, it was really, really good. The comeback is a big boy throw. He makes it look easy. It's a big boy throw. He manipulated the pocket on third down to get the ball to Foster Moreau. I thought the throwaways were really good. I don't know, man. I don't know that C.J. Stroud could have done any more last night in the limited play that he got to prove more. What I really, really liked about him, I talked about it at 4 o'clock. What I really liked about was the check down that he threw to Woody Marks was one that in the past he would have waited for the long mid-range over route to clear the last defender. He would have held the ball, maybe even made the throw, but he would have took a hit, maybe even took a sack if the receiver didn't clear the defender quick enough. And instead he just got through his progression, checked the ball down. Woody got a positive gain, and we huddled back up and ran another play. I mean, that is exactly what Nick Caley needs from C.J. Stroud. Hey, I'm going to dial up a shot here. If it's not there, don't take unnecessary risks. Just check it down and get back in the huddle. We'll call it again later on. And C.J. seems to be good with that, seems to be buying into that, taking ownership, whatever phrase you want to use that they're using over at Reliant to describe what C.J. needs to do. It looks like he's taking care of business, and last night was a good night for him.
Yeah, I think what we've seen carry on through camp, I think we saw it at the joint practice against the Raiders as well. There's no rush, no.
Yeah.
This is the nerves or anything. And be honest, man, it's without the exception of really the New England game, CJ has generally seemed to be cool, calm, collected in for the vast majority of the time we've seen him. I mean, the vast majority of the time. It was one of the crazy things that was said about him as a rookie. Like, he's a rookie and he does not seem overwhelmed. He has not seemed anything close like that. And he seems very comfortable in the offense and comfortable in what he's doing. Now, you watched it last night, and yes, they could have been just being very vanilla themselves. But, you know, you wonder how much he's going to love these bootleg, yeah. Hey, man, just drop it, or these checkdowns, you know, how long that is going to be something that he can roll with. Yeah. But he looks very comfortable in what he's doing.
Looks very comfortable in what he's doing. Can you trust him to throw the ball away when there's nothing there? Can you trust him to get out of the huddle quick enough to – not trust is not the right word, but can he get to a point where you get out of the huddle soon enough, quick enough, to where double A-gap pressure doesn't take you by surprise? You move Woody Marks up there, he checks it, and then he slides out and picks up a corner blitz. Everybody's operating, sure, with a sense of urgency, but there's plenty of time. Everybody's cool, calm, collected. So all the things that this this system, this offense is going to ask C.J. Stroud to do. He did those things well last night. Again, can I trust you to call a shot and check it down if we don't get the look that we wanted? Can I trust you on a bootleg when nothing's there to not take a hit, not get hurt, not put the ball in harm's way, just throw it away, right? Can obviously, you know, there was some late rotation on the comeback throw to Jarrett Wayne. There was some late rotation. He read it beautifully, and the throw was a dime. You know, can you execute with that frame of mind and not take the additional risk, the additional hits, get pressured, get sacked? Can you do that? And it looks like that's my big question for CJ. It's not a talent thing. It's not a rattled thing. It's just a are you okay with running this offense and this is who you are for a season at least? If he can do that, I expect more really good things out of CJ.
Yeah, it was, again, I see people testing it, we know who they were going against. We understand that, and they can only go against who they can go against. Because if he's going out there and throwing some picks or throwing some balls into the ground to open receivers, yeah. People will have some issues, right? Not caring who he was going up against. We're not going over the top. This doesn't mean we feel like, hey, man, oh boy, here he goes, rookie season CJ. But no, I think for what you wanted to see first time out, I think it was an A plus.
Well, it's, I mean, Ron, in my opinion, this goes back. Remember we watched, who was it? Arizona, Carolina, the first preseason game when Carson Beck had a good game, and what's Buddy's name from A&M?
And then
ended up at Georgia Tech quarterback that was at A&M, and then East Texas
Haynes King.
You know. Haynes King, I think, put up more yards and actually threw a touchdown or ran a touchdown to win the game, right? So if you just look at the box score, you go, man, Haynes King had a great game. If you watch that game, there was one quarterback that, sure, was scrappy and put up some numbers and did some good things and was clutch, but there was another quarterback that looked mature beyond his years. There was another quarterback that looked like he had complete control of what was going on, that his team nor him ever panicked and were never in this whole survival mode. He was in control the whole time. Carson Beck looked like a pro. When I take that approach and I look at last night with C.J. Stroud, C.J. Stroud looked like he was in complete control of every single snap, even when the play wasn't there, even when it wasn't the ideal look, even when the protection wasn't perfect. He looked like a seasoned veteran, which you'd hope he would. He looked like a pro, and that's what you want to get out of your preseason games. How often this year can C.J. Stroud stay in that mode and just be cool with being comfortable, just cool, calm, collected, and not try to do too much? That's a positive sign.
Yeah, and that's what they're looking for and hunting for.
No doubt.
T-Mill's best bets coming up. We'll get his bets as he's had a hell of a week. See if he can finish it off right on a Friday as we continue right here live on the Drive.
All right, H-Town. Today's picks are in. The choice is yours. Are you tailing?
Forget the myths that the media has created and just follow the money.
Or fading?
There is no nobility in poverty.
It's time for T-Mill's best bets on the Drive.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich.
All right, T-Mill's best bets. We do them nightly right here on the Drive and on the Fan. He's had a good week. Every day in the green. 6 of 9, 66%.
Gosh, that number has come up on our show like 4 times today. Sorry, I had to call it out.
6 of 9. That is not.
It's been so many 6 nines.
No, it's not the Texans drive. Okay, it's 6 of 9.
I love it.
He's had a good week. Now, he was doing some extra stuff yesterday, so he wasn't able to get doing other.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Doing the earlier shift.
That's my bad.
So he wasn't able to get the... Excuse me, get the best bets in. But still, let's see if we can finish off the week well on a Friday. Remember, you can find all of his best bets at Space City Sharp, at Space City Sharp on Twitter, and he'll have them set up there. What you got tonight?
I got three bets, sticking with it. You know, it's worked so well. Three picks around baseball. And my bad on that yesterday. I actually meant to have y'all some best bets for yesterday. I went home and I went to sleep, which I did not anticipate happening. I was worn out. But three best bets on a Friday. Let's finish the week in the green. First game of action tonight is the Marlins and Nationals in Miami as the Marlins host the Nationals. And I got two bets in this game. First, I'm taking the Marlins money line, so the Marlins to defeat the Nats. And then I'm taking the over in this ballgame, over 7.5 runs between the Nats and the Marlins tonight. And your third and last and final best bet of the week here on The Drive is once again, Old Faithful, the big man, Yordan, your daddy, Yordan, over 1.5 total bases tonight at minus 120 odds. Those are your three best bets.
He needs a night, man.
Could use it.
Yeah, he needs an MVP night. I mean, I think he's still in good shape there when you're leading all the categories in the league. Now, the home run thing is probably the one that's getting tightest with that cat in Tampa. But they need a night for him, not just for his MVP status, but they need somebody to take the pressure off. Maybe if they got a nice lead out. Now, Hayden, you could send them to the plate at 0-0. But maybe if they had a nice lead early, maybe it'd take a little pressure off these pitchers who can't seem to get out, you know, get past the fifth in the last week and a half. But Yordan, it could be big for him to have a big night.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get a little breathing room here. It'd be nice to get a little breathing room for old Wisniewski here and let him work without fear of losing a lead. That'd be nice.
That'd be nice, yeah. Be nice. Coming up behind us as we get this weekend started nicely for you, the fellas, Texans All Access, I'm sure they will discuss what they saw last night from the preseason game. A lot to take in from the early start all the way to the end of the guys trying to make the back of the roster. Nobody better than John Harris, Mark Vandermeer. They will have that for you coming up after we get done. And then they will hand things off to Area 45 as Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Bryson. I believe it's Mitch tonight, actually. Mitch is in the building. Bryson's out today. Mitch is in the building holding it down. They will have their fun times on a Friday night and the baseball post-game show as soon as the A's and the Astros get done. Hopefully, this is a situation where the Astros can take care of the A's and get themselves back over 500. Again, this is a situation where they are, if they lose, they could find themselves tied with the Rangers for first place in the West. So they hold a one-game lead currently right now. See if they can get it done against a team with the worst record in baseball, the Sacramento A's. So you can listen to all that tonight, Area 45. All right, I wanted to get to, I think, at least the biggest things we learned last night. And let's start with that. DeMeco, he talked about the offensive line. I think that was one of the big things I was watching for. I kept saying it to you. I said it last night in the press box. I said it on the show yesterday. I am just fascinated on who were the five guys that were going to run out there. And the five guys that ended up running out there, Trent Brown at right tackle, Ed Ingram at right guard, Evan Brown at center with Big Red Rutledge at left guard, and then Ariante Ursery was the left tackle. Those were the five that ran out there in front of CJ. Those, all five of those guys came out after the first drive. That looks like your starting offensive line. Here was DeMeco talking about what he saw from the fellas last night.
At the first offensive line group, as you guys know, I talk about it constantly. We move guys around to make sure we got our best five guys out there. So to see that, you got to see guys working together, see guys getting those reps. So that's indicative of the group you saw out there today. Those are the five we went with today. Those guys have done a really good job. So we'll see how they keep building and moving forward.
All right, that was DeMeco there. Do you think we learned the starting five, Clint? They've talked about the best five. Do you think this is what they believe the best five is?
Yeah, I believe that this is what they think the best five is. Yeah, I mean, I think Trent Brown, it's a no-brainer. Any way you slice it, he's your best right guard. I mean, right tackle. I think Ed Ingram is, without a doubt, your best right guard. Both of those guys have been the starter, really, for all of camp. Evan Brown at center is obviously a byproduct of Wyatt Teller not being your best guard and ultimately Keelan Rutledge needing to play guard. So that puts you to your, okay, who's your next best center? Evan Brown is that guy, perfectly capable. I believe, somebody check me on this, Tyler. I think he's got multiple starts at center. I mean, double-digit starts at center and double-digit starts at guard as a multi-year veteran. So Evan Brown obviously has played a lot of football. And then Ursary's been the undisputed left tackle, since about first month of last season. So, yeah, like I don't think there's anybody – I mean, I don't think there's – because you look at what happened with the second team, and that to me tells you the story. The fact that Wyatt Teller has gone from left guard to right guard tells me that left guard wasn't going to work out for him, right, which eliminates all the competition for Keelan Rutledge at left guard, right? You're not even making that a competition if Wyatt Teller is going to play the right side. So that takes him out, that takes Rutledge out of the center rotation. So who's your best center? And right now, I think they're pretty convinced it's Evan Brown. I think you're looking at 3-plus practices in a preseason game where Evan Brown has been that guy at center with CJ, I think. So,
yeah,
I would think that this is the starting five out of the gate, and they're going to start building around this group.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like, right? You talked about it, Trent Brown, and we, you know, there was probably a surprise, like, hey, is Trent even going to play in this? Is Trent going to play, you know, preseason games? Is that what he's about to kind of save his injury? Nope, energy or his injuries risk? No, they ran him out there, and it makes a lot of sense now. That looks like the five. By the way, did you see enough? Were you fine with them?
Well, no, I've never seen enough.
10 plays, enough. 10 plays, 69 yards.
I wanted to see more. I wanted to see more. But it was a really, really good 10 plays, so I can see where it was convincing enough for D'Amico to say, hey, I've seen enough.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they went down. And with the injury to Higgins earlier in the week, you could see them right saying, all right, 10 plays, that's enough. That's all we need. That's all we need to see. Well, we'll see what happens moving forward, see if the Astros can get a dub tonight. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as well. I am Ron, the show, Hughley. Houston, have yourself a great weekend. And remember, we love you, baby.
Brought to you by,
like, oh my God, Tyler.
Good hell.
Oh my God.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.